It's a Tuesday morning mess. Let's head this morning to the FHN Dial-A-Doc program. Joining us back again today, FHN Infection Control Clinical Quality Department, Margie Kochmeyer's back with us again today. Hey, Margie, good morning. Hello to you.
Good morning.
Well, school's starting again, various formats, including at home and in school at the bricks and mortar building learning. But we've heard now conflicting info about how susceptible children and young people are to the coronavirus, and are they able to transmit it to others? Update us. I know you've been looking at this. What is the latest accurate information regarding kids?
Well, it's possible for people of any age to be infected with this virus and transmit it to others through either respiratory droplets or contaminated surfaces. There's been relatively few cases of COVID-19 reported among children, and I'm not sure if it's because we're not testing kids as much or if they're not getting it as often as adults. The kids that are getting it have milder symptoms than the adults do, and know that anyone can have COVID-19 without symptoms and they can transmit it to others. So taking precautions that have shown to reduce transmission can help us prevent the spread of COVID-19.
All right, and as parents look to keeping their kids safe when they're out and about, what do you believe is the most important thing to remember?
Parents are important role models for their kids. So teach the children how to keep their hands clean, and this is going to help the virus from spreading to others. And then let kids see the parents practicing the same preventative actions that we're telling them. This will protect them now and in the upcoming flu season.
And, of course, wearing a mask and actually have them mirror that as well.
Absolutely. And do it without complaining about it. That's going to be, be the role model and say, this is what we need to do to keep ourselves protected.
Now, these requirements obviously going to be much more difficult for younger children to follow. What do you suggest as far as helping parents with younger kids?
Well, young kids are rule followers. It's important for them to have, of course, the adult role models that are practicing these preventative actions. You know, the mask, the hand washing, not meeting in large groups of people. Our kids are resilient, and they have experienced a very different way of doing things, especially in the last 6 months. I think teaching them preventative actions to keep them safe as part of what they're going to do every day, that will help them stay safe. I'm more concerned about the upcoming flu season and having COVID with that. And I've seen something where teachers, especially with little ones, can make it fun. Sit in your desk and stretch out your arms to make sure, you know, make it look like wings and stay that distance away from other people.
What about, you know, students are going to get back together, go to school potentially, others in the family may be going out more in public as well than they have in the past as well. How can families keep others in their homes safe with these germs out there?
Well, if you're going out in public more than you have in the past, remember to take those precautions to keep yourself healthy. And then some of the practices that we've discussed during flu season can apply to this. So keeping our homes germ-free means wiping down surfaces that many family members are touching, like computer keyboards, phones, countertops, door handles on the refrigerator, the oven, light switches. If a family member tests positive, take some extra precautions, and that may be distancing yourself a little bit in the home from them, or even wearing a mask if there's somebody susceptible that lives in the house.
All right, and how militant are you? Okay, so someone's been gone all day and they come back in. Would this be the kind of thing, okay, hit the shower, clothes in the hamper, and I'll see you when you're done? Is it that militant about it potentially?
Our healthcare workers are doing that. They're getting undressed in their garages, and they keep laundry baskets there, and they're going in and showering. Some are showering at work and changing clothes before they go home. These are people, though, that are taking care of COVID patients.
Now, we've also heard that the virus can be transmitted maybe less so on surfaces, maybe than we originally thought. What about wiping down the high-touch areas at home? Are you still recommending that?
Well, I know it's hard with all the information that has changed since the beginning of this pandemic, but we continue to learn about this virus. As we move into cold and flu season, along with people testing positive for COVID, cleaning high-touch surfaces at home is always a good idea in our general cleaning so that other types of germs aren't shared between family members. I do not wipe down my groceries or my mail. I do, however, clean my countertop if I've placed a FedEx package on it, because that's where I prepare food. food, and I hand sanitize after I've been out in the store, and I wash my hands before I eat if I can, or I'll hand sanitize. My general cleaning at home includes cleaning the remote, the handles on doors, and my countertops.
All right. What about light switches, door handles, all of that stuff?
Anything that is shared between people that is highly touched are things that should be wiped down in your general cleaning.
You know, this, if you're a germaphobe, you know, and I lean a little bit that way, but I'm not, you know.
Germaphobe? I don't think I am.
Well, this has to be tough, though. I mean, because it just hits you on, and if you really think hard about it, you would never stop cleaning.
It's all the things, though, that we've talked about during flu season. So if you think about this as an extended flu season, and we don't want to get sick from being around others, and we need to keep things wiped, I think that will keep you fairly safe.
What about if your kids aren't going to be in person at school, they're going to remote learn and going to be at home? What about school physicals? What's your recommendation on that?
They should still have their school physicals because that is going to keep them up to date on their immunizations. Now, if they get behind, they can do a catch-up with some of those immunizations, but it's important for the kids to have these for their health and well-being.
Now, remind us about the schedule for school physicals and sports physicals and the differences between them, and at the same time, tell us about immunizations as well.
A healthy child should get a physical every 2 years after the age of 5 if they don't have any medical conditions. Kids that have chronic medical conditions like asthma or allergies need to be seen once a year unless they're directed otherwise by their provider. A physical focuses on the physical, developmental, emotional, and social health, and it includes immunizations. Sports physicals are usually required before a child starts a sports season, and that is more focused on the particular sport that they're going to play. So maybe a child with asthma might need to have an inhaler that's prescribed for easier breathing or running. The provider might give training tips for stretching to avoid injury. Those are usually done before the season starts. Immunizations are also known as vaccines, and they help defend against preventable diseases. There's a nice chart with a schedule for vaccine minimum requirements for a child entering schools in Illinois at dph.illinois.gov website. It includes a schedule for age requirements and vaccines.
You mentioned asthma. I've seen both ways. Which way is it that you can actually do better with COVID if you have asthma? Or you do worse with COVID with asthma? Have you seen the studies?
At first, I thought that asthma was going to be a risk factor, but it's not even making the top 10 of risks. I haven't seen anybody with asthma do worse when they've gotten it. It's usually people that have high blood pressure or diabetes or are overweight. Those seem to be the high risk factors for COVID.
All right. Russia just announced that they have a vaccine, apparently. My big question is, somebody's got to ask Putin this, did Putin take the vaccine? That's what I think is going to be whether they really have a vaccine or not.
That'll be interesting to find out.
Yeah. Okay, flu season's coming up. Can people get the flu and the coronavirus at the same time?
Yes. The literature I've read said it is possible to have both the flu and COVID-19 at the same time. They are different viruses. It's important to be vaccinated for preventable diseases.
What about the flu shot? Of course, it does protect against the flu. Will it do anything to protect against the coronavirus?
The flu shot will not protect you from getting COVID-19, but it will help prevent you from getting the flu. I have seen people very sick with both of these illnesses, both COVID-19 and the flu, and I would not like to see someone with both of these viruses at the same time. Look for a COVID-19 vaccine to be ready, hopefully by the beginning of 2021, and it's probably going to be an annual vaccine just like the flu.
All right, will FHN be doing drive-in flu shot clinics again this year, Margie?
Absolutely. We'll be doing drive-through flu shot clinics for the community. Our flu shot clinics are open for ages 18 and older. If you've never received a flu shot by driving in, sticking your arm out the window, this is a good year to try it. This is a great way for people to get vaccinated. Watch our website and our Facebook page for details, and we will be up to date with more information as the flu season gets closer.
Okay. Where can people find out more information about what we talked about today?
FHN.org or our Facebook page.
All right. I'm going to go upstairs and wrap myself in cellophane, and then that's what I'm going to spend the rest of my day. And sin. Okay, all right. Margie, it's always great to talk to you. Great information as always. No, you're not a germaphobe, but you're just, you know, you're just proactive. That's what you are, right?
That is exactly it. I have a lot of people to protect here.
All right, very good. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Thank you.
FHN Infection Control and Clinical Quality Department. That's Margie Kochmeyer here today. And that is the FHN Dial-A-Doc program.